When the guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 149 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. I am on my way to getting drunk, and I hope you come with me. My name is Eric. I'm not as fat as you think I am, Walquist. and joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
I'm Jesse, sick with possibly a broken finger, Wilson.
Good. T-minus 3 weeks to the wedding.
I know, I'm beat up.
Yeah. Well, it's the storm before the calm. That's the way it works, right?
Hopefully.
Jesse, how was your week?
It was good. As listeners know, it was my bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of fun. Got a little sick on Monday.
Good.
And still I got this head cold thing. There's something going around. There's a bug going around.
Yeah, it wasn't like the craziest bachelor party, but basically if you listen to Jesse's description of what he hoped it would be in last week's show, it was exactly that.
Yeah, so
couple of brewery tours.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, brewery tours, board games.
Magic. The Magic tournament was awesome.
Yeah, Jack and Jill, the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, that's right. We watched Jack and Jill because it was there.
Obscenely horrible.
Confusingly bad.
Confusingly terrible. I might talk about this later because I feel like Jack and Jill is like a psychological breakdown of like media and culture and in general. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I had like this weird eyeball thing going on the entire bachelor party.
Right, that sucked.
I had like a sinus infection that was affecting my tear duct, so I was basically weeping during the entire bachelor party, which was a great opportunity for everybody to make fun of me at all costs, which I would expect nothing less. Wake up Monday morning, miraculously cured.
Oh, really?
Yeah, miraculously gone. My tear duct, like, it hurt all weekend. Now it's completely fine.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and so, and also Sunday, this was Monday morning is when it cleared up, but on Sunday I played in my first softball game of the season with the Reddit Seattle softball team.
Mm-hmm. Great name.
Yeah, r/Seattle is the name of the team. I thought we should have been the upvotes, but, you know, the thing is about the team is that, well, I'll get to it, but we ended up winning our first game, which is great. We won in extra innings in the bottom of the eighth because you only played a 7 innings. And I had the game-winning RBI.
Nice. So congratulations.
I didn't play a lot of sports as a kid. I played basketball, and I warmed the bench, and I did track and field. So I've never had the opportunity to be the guy who comes in, and everything's on you. Mm-hmm. And now at 27 years old, I finally get that opportunity. I came through. I felt like the king of the world.
You felt like Sky Hunter, whatever that guy's name was on the... Remember we were watching, like, South Carolina, North Carolina
game? Oh, yeah,
game?
Total. Yeah, it was... What was that guy's name? It was, like, Sky Colt or something crazy.
Sky Bolt.
Sky Bolt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was Sky Bolt. And we were wearing... But this is the thing about the Reddit softball team is we wear these, like, periwinkle t-shirts, mm-hmm. which is, like... And they didn't win any games last season, so we won our first game of this season, but... You're wearing periwinkle shirts. It's your Reddit team. That's the downvote color.
That is the downvote.
You should wear orange shirts and be the upvotes. Anyway, so that happened. It was all great. And then I'm driving home from the softball game and my eye goes crazy and just like tears and like I can't see. I'm trying to pick up Lydia from the ferry. I can barely drive. I'm exhausted. But that was like the last gasp of this weird infection because
weird.
I wake up Monday morning, it's completely gone. I'm happy. I get on the bus. This is my week. I get on the bus and I'm 10 minutes into my bus ride to work Monday morning. My nose starts to bleed.
No way.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Other nostril too. Not the infected nostril. The other nostril. So
pretty gross right now.
I'm not bringing tissues with me on the bus every day. So I'm just sitting on this crowded bus. Blood starts streaming out of my nose. It gets all over my shirt. I'm just like holding my finger on the bottom of my nose, damming up this rush of blood coming out. There's blood running down my hand. And I have to ride the bus for like a good 30 minutes with just blood gushing out of my nose. No, everybody was in bus mode. And not just bus mode, Seattle bus mode.
No one responded?
Zero people responded. The girl who was sitting next to me...
Did you say anything?
No. The girl... I was in Seattle bus mode too. The girl who was sitting next to me like kind of got a little bit more distance between us.
She didn't even move?
No.
What?
No, everybody just like eyes forward, dude's that bleeding
is,
out.
That is a biohazard.
It seriously is.
You did say something to the bus driver?
No, I just sat there with my finger on my nose.
Wow, you beast moded it.
I did. And then about 10 minutes to my destination, I crumpled up a piece of paper and put it on my nose.
God, that's horrible.
So I get to work, I get blood all over my shirt, and luckily there's
like Fight Club.
Yeah, there's like a exactly. You're making copies, but yeah, luckily there's a Sears underneath my my office, so I had to wait till 10:30 for Sears to open with blood all over my shirt. Luckily, I didn't have any meetings, and then I go down and I buy like a really, really crappy polyester shirt for like $15 and wore that for the rest of the day.
So it just drained out and then you're okay?
Yeah, well, when I put the paper on it, I put some pressure on it. And it was done by the time I got to work, but I was covered in blood.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
You didn't ask for a tissue.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to make a scene.
You did. You make more of a scene by just sitting there bleeding on yourself like some sort of psychopath.
I'm wearing nice clothes, people. I'm a commuter.
That's true. I probably could have gotten away with it because I dress like a schlub.
Yeah, so that was my week. But we need to get into the show here. Anyway, that was just my week. But Jesse, what are you drinking on this week's show?
I'm just drinking a little bit of free beer from work. This is actually probably the most sober I've done a podcast in a long time.
Because you're sick?
Because I'm sick.
You're sober sick, like, buddy.
I did drink one session while I was playing Agricola.
Oh, there you go.
Because I am an alcoholic after all, damn it. We have our standards.
And I'm drinking the Jolly Roger Christmas Ale, actually. They had this at my local market that I can now walk to from my... Yeah. From my apartment. And they have a nice little beer locker back there.
They do.
So it's a little expensive, but at the same time, they got a nice selection.
What I like about the beer locker, you're talking about like the market.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. It's like tucked away from mm-hmm. the side of the employees. And if you look at the six packs, there's a lot of like build your own six pack action going on with just scattered bottles here and there.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Why is there a tall boy in your six-pack? I don't know.
Oh, I didn't notice. Oh, should I go back?
Yeah, but I'm drinking Jolly Roger, so this is from Maritime Brewing Company. It tastes pretty alcohol-y. I wanted to ask you this. Like, you know, this is obviously bottled quite a while ago at this point. Can beers gain alcohol content over time?
Now, I mean, technically, yes, but... It would, if it's like a gusher, when you open it up, there's been some sort of fermentation, but it probably not. I mean, they're probably filtered, pasteurized, so it's not going to re-ferment in the bottle.
Okay.
They probably just made a really boozy beer, and we're hoping it would settle out by the next 6 months.
Yeah, it's pretty boozy, dude. I've had like one of them, and I'm cooking, so.
Wow.
So, Jesse, who's this episode dedicated to?
So, this... episode has to be dedicated to my lovely fiance who won the championship round of our Elimination Agricola Bracket tournament.
Wow. Yeah.
Today, not only did she win, Eric, but she beat the previous high score, which she set by 5 points with a whopping 59 points.
Whoa.
Yeah. She crushed it like a pro. So she is officially the reigning champion of the Agricola League.
This was insane to me. So your fiance Tasha, she didn't play games before you guys met, right?
Because, no, but she is smart. So
you are one of the best gamers that I know in terms of tabletop gaming, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in like Halo and stuff. I mean, but you're a very good gamer. In fact, you're the gamer that I try to beat in every game that I play with you.
Awesome.
So it's very impressive to me that the learning curve that Tasha has gone through to beat you, she might be a genius.
I am certain that she has a higher IQ than I do.
Has she taken the Mensa test?
No. She shuns that kind of thing. Like, she didn't mm-hmm. go to a 4-year university. Yep.
That's what a genius would do.
Exactly. Like, she doesn't care for the standard metric of academia. She's just smart and knows it and is comfortable with that.
That's crazy. It blows my mind that she has mastered. I think at this point she's probably mastered Agricola. Maybe we should just bring her. We should just bring her along the pack so that she could play in a tournament.
Maybe if there's an Agricola tournament, for sure.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. It's like she and I are masters of the 2-player edition. We have very little experience when it comes to the 5, 4, or 3-player games.
Well, give her a couple days; she'll figure it out.
Yeah, she'll play and learn.
All right. Well, we need to get to some listener feedback this week. We got a bunch of voicemails, but I actually want to start it off with a very touching email from our very own Connected Dotsies, Roger Dotsy. This is the type. These are the type of emails that we get, and it kind of puts everything in perspective. It makes me happy that you and I have been doing this podcast for 3 years now.
Yeah, nigh on 3 years.
For nigh on 3 years. All right, here it is from Roger. Go ahead and cue the lesson of the week music. I can't even say it. Whatever. Here we go. Eric, my movie loving kindred spirit. Jesse, my beer teaching laugh inducing sage.
Wow, that's going on my business card.
Along with it's spermologist, by the way, guys. I can't read. It's not spermologist, it's spermologist. All right, here we go. How do I write a note to thank you two? How do I capture the feelings of thanks that I have in one small email? The answer is I can't, but I'm going to try. Let me start off by saying this. You two have changed my life. Don't get me wrong. I've been given an excellent life. I have a beautiful wife. We're 7 months pregnant, which I'm super excited about, even with your birth control reco, Jesse. And I just became a dentist, which is a career that will provide for my family, so long as I'm not a terrible dentist.
True.
True that. Well, even if you're a terrible dentist, you'll probably be fine. I discovered your podcast last September, right at the start of the most stressful year of dental school, and it was glorious. I not only had over 100 back episodes, which despite your best efforts to dissuade us from listening to, they're all really fun, but I also had a new cast to listen to every week. You have no idea how much joy and laughter you guys would bring to me on Thursday, sometimes Friday, after a crappy week / hard day, and then letting me be a part of the podcast with Connect the Dotsy. It means a lot. My wife always gets excited when I show her a new Connect the Dotsy, so thanks a lot for that. But not only do I love listening to the podcast, I love interacting with you guys. It's cool to have two good friends in Seattle. I followed you guys through Eric's wedding and Jesse's baby and now his wedding. And it makes it more personal, and I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I do. Roger, we love you so much. He says, thanks, guys, and it was fun discussing Iron Man 3 on last week's show. Next week, I'll try to get in touch with some actual content, but this week, I just wanted to let you guys know that in all truthfulness, you helped me through dental school. Be proud of yourselves. Sorry for the long email, but what do you expect from me? Get off my back, Roger Dotsy. Roger, you are awesome. And we're happy to have a friend. He's not even a Kentucky Colonel anymore. He's gone to Indianapolis.
Yeah, he's a cult driver. I don't know.
I have no idea I was trying to think what the nickname for Indiana is.
Is it the Hoosier State, or is that a different one?
Oh, I think it is the Hoosier State. I thought it was I thought it was like the Cyclone State, but that's the other college team. I guess that's Iowa State, isn't it? I don't even know. Indiana. So, Roger, please go to Gen Con and let us know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Roger, we love you so much, and thank you so much for being a part of the show. It's really cool that we've made these connections. And Roger, if you're ever in Seattle, please call us.
Yeah. Also, I might fly into Indianapolis and have you perform some free dental work on me.
Right. Can't get off scot-free for listening to us.
Right. I do accept payment in the form of checkups.
Well, actually, Jesse, we don't know what kind of dentist Roger is yet. So
that's true.
A little bit of a crap.
I want to be patient one.
Roger, we love you, buddy. And we can't wait for the next Connect the Dotsy. Speaking of phone calls, here's the next one. And here it is from Texas.
Hey, it's Sean from Fort Worth, Texas. I was just calling to ask you what the worst way to die at a visit to the lake would be. Would it be from an amoeba or a boating accident or Jason Voorhees? I don't know. What do you think? Also, spermalogger sounds like a really suspicious type of beer. All right. Thanks, guys. Get off my Scott Bakula.
Get off my Scott Bakula, Sean.
Oh, wow.
That was a good one.
Get off my back.
Interesting
question.
Yeah,
spermalogger would definitely be cloudy.
Oh, God. Oh, man. watch out for those yeast strains.
Yeah,
So this is an interesting question. It's probably one of the weirdest questions we've ever gotten. What would be the worst way to die in a lake? I know the best way to die.
I actually almost died in a lake.
Oh, how'd you die?
Well, I didn't.
Okay.
But I came pretty close once when I was 18 at Island Lake.
How did you just drown?
Yeah, I was drowning. I'd been working all day, morning shift, and hadn't really been eating right.
Mm-hmm.
My cousins were like, let's go to the Island Lake. I was like, sure. And they're like, let's swim out to the island. I'm like, all right. And then as I'm swimming out to the island, I don't know how far away it is. Maybe 200 yards. It's not that far.
It's one of those things where, like, you're like, oh, I can swim there. And then, like, halfway there, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, well, the thing was, like, I couldn't swim in a straight line. I kept just, like, swimming, like, off to the left and, like, not getting closer, getting further away from the dock, but not getting closer to the island.
Uh-huh.
And I started to, like, fade out. Like, my vision started fading. And I remember a few times, like, paddling a few strokes and then just like sinking down and being like, okay, this feels good. And
oh,
then
no.
Like the fight or flight reflex like kicking in and like swimming like my way back up to the surface and getting a breath and going a little bit further and then like fading out again.
God, so you're basically like falling asleep in the water?
Yeah, I was just kind of like fading out.
Oh,
and then I would sink and I felt okay with it, but then like instinct kicked in and
yeah.
Eventually I just like surfaced and treaded water and tried to float on my back for as long as possible to like get my strength back up and then swim on my back instead of doing a, you know, a front stroke. And I made it to the island and I had to swim back.
Took a nap.
Yeah, basically spent a long time on that island.
Yeah. Geez. So I think we know the worst way.
That actually wasn't so bad. I'd rather die that way than like a flesh-eating virus.
Yeah, flesh-eating virus is pretty terrible. I mean, the best way to die at a lake is lake monster attack.
That's true. Death by Giardia is bad.
Yeah, death by Giardia is all horrible.
Or duck mite.
Oh, duck mites. I don't know how common duck mites are. I don't know if people know about duck mites, but like
I feel like that's probably a nationwide thing.
Okay, because like every lake, people are always like, you got to take a shower. You're going to get duck mites.
It's because you're swimming in duck poop.
Yep. Well, so, yeah, you know, you're breathing human farts right now. So
I think death by, well, actually, I'm not, but death by duck might be the worst way to die in a lake.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next phone call.
So, hey, guys, it's John from Boston, Massachusetts. I successfully added you guys to my phone as drunk dial.
Right.
So it is my birthday, and it is 3:48 a.m., so I decided to give you guys a call, and I want to know what happened to the soundboard. I'm listening to your episodes in the 50s and 60s. If you guys have a soundboard, and it just seems disappears, and these guys got out of it. So I think you should bring it back, and hopefully you take my advice and stay off my back.
Stay off my back, John.
Stay off my bike.
I'm guessing. Bike. I'm hoping this is John O'Brien who gave us our PAX East update and is our New England correspondent.
You go, girl.
But if it's not, if there's another John from Massachusetts, that's cool too. But regardless, John has done the right thing here. John has put us in his phone as drunk dial.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get this going, guys, I can't promise we're going to put all the drunk dials on the podcast because like 20 minutes of drunk dials may not be the most fun thing to listen to. Maybe bonus content. But we will have the drunk dial of the week that we'll put at the end of the show.
Yes, certainly.
And also the soundboard, logistically it's just tough. You kind of need a producer to do a soundboard.
It was hard enough when it was just me running the soundboard off my computer and Eric and I were in the same room, but doing it through Skype also,
it's rough.
If we have a third guy.
Yeah, if we had a third guy, or if somebody out there has some kind of web app or something, or app for a phone that would suffice, that it's really easy to use, that they can recommend to us, maybe we'll give it a shot. But logistically, it's kind of a nightmare right now.
Yeah, and the main reason was because at the time I wanted to extract a bunch of content from the Blue Yonder podcast to play that made them look like fools, but we've already won that war. So
right. We won / lost it.
I think we won it.
I don't know who won.
We won.
But we joined their empire.
They were a state of the empire, and we conquered that state. It's like
we conquered the state, but we got assimilated into the country.
Yeah, exactly. Which is fine.
All right.
It's like how the Magyars came into Europe and then became part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, but then later, you know,
my thoughts exactly
their beliefs and way. You know, we call them the Austro-Hungarian Empire. We don't just call it the Austrian Empire.
Well, there you go.
We're exactly like the Magyars.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Oh.
Here we go. Here's our last phone call.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Josh from Maine calling in. I haven't called in for a while, but I have been listening. So guess what? I want to talk a little bit about summer ales. I find that summer ales are tough just because a lot of brewers fall into the trap of putting a little too much lemon in them. I know that with my experience, I find that most summer ales use too much of it. Really, I feel like a good summer ale, is crisp and clean. It's not too dark. It's not too light. It's refreshing. It doesn't actually need the hint of lemon in it that a lot of brewers put in it. So I try them out. A large national brand, which I won't name, but is trying to stay a microbrewery, but they're really not. Their summer ale was so disgusting that I actually had to dump the rest of it out. I couldn't drink it. When I poured it into a glass, it looked like it was a blue moon. It was so foggy and hazy. So anyway, I try a bunch of them, and I've really settled on one this year. It's Geary's Summer Ale, Geary's Brewing Company out of Portland, Maine. And it's great. It's just crisp and it's clean, and I love it. And when I was at the grocery store last week, I saw it in cans. So I was thinking to myself, why would they put that in cans? They've never done that before. And then it hit me. It's a summer ale. People are going to the beach, going to the lake. Boating. They want something that's easy to transport, coolers, whatever. And I was thinking to myself, it's not a bad idea. So tried it out. I didn't do a side-by-side taste test with a bottle, but it tasted pretty much like the, you know, what comes in the bottle. And I was pleased. I'm not going to buy it again, but I definitely liked it. So I guess my question for you guys is, number one, summer ales. Is too much lemon a problem in those? How do you feel? What should a summer ale be? And number two is putting a summer ale in a can, just for the simple fact that people are out doing things in the summer, makes it easier to transport. So I'd like to hear what you guys have to say anyway. How about you get arrogant and stay off my back?
Why don't you get off, stay off my y'all me. Screwed me up.
Stay off my back. Get off my back.
I forgot that Josh from Maine is also our New England correspondent. I think we got two New England correspondents and they're holding hands.
That's good.
One from Maine and one from Mass. So interesting. I don't think of summer ales as having a lot of lemon in them, but maybe that's more of an East Coast thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
But one thing that's been really big lately, it's been blowing up, especially this summer, is the Shandy.
Mm-hmm.
which is basically like a lager mixed with like lemonade.
Right.
A lot of people are doing this now. The first time I had it was at Epic Ales. The head brewer there, Cody, made it for me, which is it was, and it's very good. It's refreshing. In fact, Sam Gulhamadi from London sent us a link to Foster's is doing this. Basically, it's like a lemonade lager.
Yeah, I liked his rundown of it. And what's interesting is it's a 2% beer, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a super session.
I love low-alcohol beers. So
yeah. I mean,
I'll take all you can throw at me.
So a shandy, I mean, a shandy is a great refreshing drink. I love that. And for summer, why not? Beer cocktails are fun, and that's basically a beer cocktail.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about summer ales, I mean, one summer ale, in my opinion, trumps them all, and that's a Twilight summer ale.
Twilight,
from the
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
When it comes to a great summer ale, Twilight comes to mind, mm-hmm. and that's still, they're not throwing excess ingredients in there. They're just changing their malt bill. They're changing their hopping. They're making it floral and
they're not wimping it out either.
I mean, it's a real, it's still a beer drinker's beer.
Right. Yeah. So that's a great beer. And as for those giant breweries that are trying to be, craft breweries.
Right.
Like ones named after Revolutionary War figures, founding fathers,
Benedict
if you will.
Arnold.
Yeah, Benedict Arnold Brewery, George Washington Brewery, mm-hmm. out of anyway, Potomac.
Good stuff.
Anyway, it's really tough. I mean, these are breweries, and I don't know why Sam Adams does this, but they always do some weird fruit flavor beer.
Yeah, they go a little bit crazy, and they put out, like, cranberry ones. There's always one beer in their sampler pack that there's, like, five left of.
Yeah, last year it was, like, a black cherry beer, and it straight up just tasted like, Diet Black Cherry Coke.
That's disgusting.
It was gross. So if you're going to do summer beers, do a Twilight if you can get it. Look for beers that are actual beers and not, like, just a super light or... Like and I also love the idea of putting in cans. I think that that's a great way to do it because you want to take it to the beach, especially hiking. If you're going to go hiking, you need a canned beer. But also get it in a growler, baby, because that's an easy mm-hmm. way to transport it for summer. Yeah. All right. We got to get to the show. We do have one more report, but we're going to save that for a break. JR, don't worry about it. Don't freak out. We love you. But, Jesse, let's get to a little tiny Matt roll-off here. We're each going to roll a 20-sided dice, see who gets to speak first on the podcast this week.
Eric, you'll be happy to know I'm going back to analog dice.
All right.
I've been doing the D&D dice roller for so long.
I know. Well, that's exciting. Here we go.
Rolled an 11.
I rolled a 6. So, Jesse, what are we talking about this week?
Well, I think we need to just jump in both feet first mm-hmm. into a mega topic, which is the raging war
mm-hmm.
of the consoles.
Raging war of the consoles.
So, why don't you let the listeners know? Perhaps you're not someone who follows console news, right. Video game news right. so closely. What's going on right now, Eric?
So what's going on right now is... So the Xbox One, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. They had an event up here in Redmond, Washington at their headquarters where they revealed the Xbox One, this great new console, the sequel to the Xbox 360. And it kind of fell with a dud.
Right, yeah.
Or a thud, one of the two.
At least in the hardcore gamer community. Just the gamer community in general.
Right. And so, I mean, they had this launch event. They lead the whole thing off with live television, which mm-hmm. is like Xbox owners don't watch live TV. Like I own an Xbox for the longest time. I used it primarily to watch television through.
Right.
So it's weird that live TV was like their main thing. And they talked about games a little bit, but they said, we're going to talk about games at E3. And they talked about television. It fell with a thud. Nobody was really excited about it. Plus, it has the dumbest name of any console.
Yeah, it's weird. I cannot think of someone who's more squarely in the demographic of Xbox than you.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
A Seattleite. You yeah. have a good job. You're upwardly mobile.
Mm-hmm.
21 to 28 year old male.
Right. I
who likes sports and TV.
I grew up, my dad, you know, is a systems analyst. He was a big Microsoft guy growing up. I grew up having Microsoft to be like the brand for me.
Right. If they can't get you excited about this, they're in trouble.
Not to mention Xbox was basically the first console I bought for myself. Was an Xbox, and I got, and I have the 360 as well. I'm a loyal Xboxer. I have been for quite some time now, going on a decade. Xbox guy. So this is my console. This is the next console that I'm going to buy. You just got to bring it out, Microsoft. You say this is what it is. I say, all right, give it to me. It's great. Give it to me.
Take my money.
After the first thing, sure, it fell with a thud, but I understand they're waiting until E3 to really reveal all this stuff. Then all of this bullshit comes out. And I'm not saying bullshit because it's not true. I'm saying bullshit because it's bullshit. Comes out.
Literally a bull came on stage.
Yeah, and pooped everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So you can't really buy used games on the 360.
Right.
It's got to have a perpetual internet connection.
Every 24 hours.
The Kinect is going to do really weird, shady shit, like know when you change the channel and like know when you're sitting in your living room, which after this week in the NSA does not make me very excited.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
you don't
also
want to fast forward through that commercial, Eric.
Also, I'd like to just say hi to all the NSA agents who are listening right now.
Oh, I hope they listen to our podcast.
Yeah, me too. So a bunch of creepy, creepy stuff comes out. Plus, but at the same time, I'm just waiting. I'm like, okay, E3 will come around. They'll talk about all the game stuff. It'll be great. E3 doesn't really do anything for me. They come out with a price tag. It's $499, $500, which is, you know, it's an entry level console. They all start out expensive and then drop.
$500.
Half a thou.
Half of $1,000.
Right. Half a thou.
For a nothing. Anyway.
Yeah, and it's just not sitting with me right. And then they come out with the games, and I mean, yeah, we're big Halo guys, but Halo 5, it's hard to get super. I'm not going to buy a new console for Halo 5.
No way.
So basically, falls flat again, and they don't really respond to any of the flack that they've gotten online, the shelling that they've gotten online from gamers of you guys have completely abandoned this, your whole gaming demographic.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think people are feeling abandoned.
Absolutely.
They feel like that not only did this company not give them the things they want, but actively gave them things that they didn't want.
Yeah, DRM, that doesn't hurt pirates, dude. DRM only hurts your gamers.
Right.
And that's...
So why don't you... I actually had to do a little bit of research on what DRM is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't completely understand it when people were talking about it. From my understanding, it's a kind of an umbrella term to describe anything that supposedly prevents piracy.
Right.
It stands for, what, Digital Rights Management?
Yep, that's exactly right.
So, I don't know. It's confusing to me, but it's basically like ways that they make sure that the person who's playing the game is the person who paid for the game.
Exactly. And it's a weird thing. It's not only applied to games, it's applied to music, it's applied to certain kind of movies, you know, it's applied to a lot of different things. And it's also not just one practice, it's a series of digital technologies, but it basically makes, like you said, it traces who, whether or not a game or a form of entertainment is being viewed by, basically for the first time. That's kind of what DRM is. It's designated that form of entertainment as a single source item. So basically, Microsoft is abandoning their whole demographic. Which, I'm sorry, you're not going to lose all the gamers and then gain all of the families who want to buy a $500 DVR. That's not going to happen.
That's the weird thing about it is, I'm not convinced that they don't know what they're doing. Maybe there's some sort of breakdown, though, where they're like, we sold 10% of Xbox 360s to people who describe themselves as gamers, and we sold 90% of them to just people who bought it because it was the cool thing for Christmas.
Well, I don't think that's... I mean, Wii was basically that. I mean, yeah. But Wii was a whole different thing. I mean, Wii was a novelty item.
Yeah.
But God,
was Kinect.
Yeah, Kinect was also a novelty item. It bothers me a lot, the way that Microsoft has handled this. And they also didn't do anything in the last 2 weeks to address this stuff. They came back to E3 with all of the same shit that they've been spewing. They didn't... Like, why don't you just show some humility and say, you know what, we listened to our audience, and so we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this.
Yeah, that would have been an amazing, like, graceful thing.
It would have been super graceful. Instead, they got to be the arrogant assholes. Mm-hmm. And
great podcast.
Totally. like, one of the presidents of Microsoft came out in an interview, and this is blew up all over Reddit when he said this. He's like, you know, if you don't have a perpetual internet connection, luckily we have a product for you. It's called an Xbox 360. Thank you for shopping an item to me that's been around for 7 years.
And I won't be able to get new titles for.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's awesome. Great, great, great marketing there. Awful, awful. On the other side of the coin, you got the PS4.
Right, and that's the thing. It's not only is Microsoft digging itself a grave.
Right.
But there's a company out there that seems to be responding to the criticisms of the gaming community.
Yeah. So they come out right after the Xbox press conference, and the first thing that they say is, the PS4 is, above all else, a gaming console.
The place explodes.
Explodes. It explodes. But the PS4, okay. Not only is it $100 less than the Xbox One.
Right.
Excellent. Especially when you looked at the last release. The PS3 was extremely expensive when it first came out. Much more pricey than the Xbox 360. They decide they're going to drop it by $100.
Yeah.
That comes with a 500 gigabyte hard drive. Yes, you have to pay for multiplayer play on PlayStation, which you didn't have to do in the past, but who cares? We've been doing that on Xbox forever.
Yeah, Xbox converts will be fine with that.
Also, no DRM. And PlayStation announced that they will not allow any game company to put a season pass on PS4 games.
Right.
Which could have been, because everybody was assuming that was why EA dropped it. EA dropped the season pass was because there was going to be some kind of charge to use resold games on consoles. But PS4 was like, you're never going to pay for a season pass ever, and you're not going to pay. You're also not going to pay for resold games. If you want to resell your game, you can give it to anybody you want, and they can play it.
Right. Meanwhile, Nintendo's in the corner going like, us too.
Well, we'll get to Nintendo, actually. Nintendo, I don't think, laid an egg here. But PS4, I want to congratulate you. Jesse started this off by saying, Eric, you are the target demographic for an Xbox. And I have been for the last decade. And I feel like I've been betrayed by the company that I've showed so much loyalty to. Mm-hmm. And PlayStation's always had better graphics. It's got an integrated Blu-ray player on the PS3, and I still stuck with my Xbox. It had free to play on a PS3, and I still got my Xbox with my Xbox Gold account.
Right.
But guess what? My next console is going to be a PS4.
Nice.
The end. I'm not going to buy a launch PS4 because you don't buy first gen right. consoles. But my next console will be a PS4.
So, oh, you heard it here first.
Yeah, that's it.
In the heart of Seattle.
In the heart of Seattle, not 30 miles away from the bird's eye to Redmond, Washington, and the Microsoft campus, I am going to get a PS4 next.
Cool.
And that's it.
Yeah. I'm pretty much sold. Like, I'm not sold on a PlayStation, but I'm sold on not buying an Xbox One.
Yeah, I think that, they screwed this up.
Not to mention, it doesn't help that my Xbox just red-ringed a couple days ago.
Dude, it red-ringed. Did it not red-ring the same day that they had the PS4 press conference?
It was the first day of E3.
That's awesome.
So that's a nice little advertisement for PlayStation.
Yeah. Also a more reliable console. So, congratulations, PS4. I'm excited to get my PS4. Probably won't happen probably till next summer or so. But you're my next console. So congrats. Yeah.
There's some there's some cool games on PlayStation too, like that Mod Nation Racers was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I always love a good kart racer, and be able to have like Little Big Planet meets kart racers. That's
yeah,
cool.
Little Big Planet's a lot of fun.
Uncharted,
which I haven't played, but I've heard a lot of good stuff about.
It
See,
is.
I'm going the other way with on this though. I think I'm taking a step back from consoles in general.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this last generation may have been a golden generation.
Okay.
Because it lasted for so long.
Yeah.
There's so much content. The price of consoles got so cheap. I think I'm just going to go PC. Because I buy all my games through Steam anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea. You know, you do run the risk of having to upgrade your PC on a more regular basis than you upgrade your console.
Right. Which I'm okay with.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I've never been that guy. Plus, I don't know what it is about a console. It's just so easy.
Yeah.
It's the ease of use.
And I have been that guy. When I first started gaming, when I was a wee lad, it was Doom 2 and Warcraft original.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I actually grew up more as a, and Baldur's Gate and stuff, I played the PC more. I'm super jealous of all the sweet Skyrim mods that are out there that I can't access on a console.
Yeah.
I like the open-endedness and the way that the community can contribute more to the games that they're playing.
Yep.
And I also, like, my favorite game, I think, video game is Civilization, which shouldn't come as too big of a shock after my little Magyar rant.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So I want to be able to play that with, like, beautiful graphics and everything. Because right now I play it on the on what they call strategic or tactical view. I forget what it is. But basically, it's all just hexes and, like, it's all cartoon.
Yeah.
Because, like, my laptop can't run anything, so.
Well, you know. Yeah, and that's another way to go as well. There's some other options out there.
Right, there's that, what was the one you were talking about?
So there's the Ouya box? The Ouya box?
Right.
So the Ouya box was a Kickstarter project that's out there. Now it runs, and there's a lot of, we're in a little bit of a revolution right now. And this E3 was definitely one of the most important E3s ever, in my opinion. Definitely the most important and relevant E3 in at least 7 years.
Right.
So you're not only coming out with these giant consoles, the new Xbox One and the PS4, but you're also announcing there's a lot of smaller consoles that are coming out. NVIDIA is coming out with an Android-based handheld device, which is basically, it looks like an Xbox controller with like a 4.5-inch screen on top of it that flips up. So that's one thing. Madcats, who makes all those stupid controllers, is coming out with their own Android console. And, of course, you got the Ouya box is coming out with their own. That's an Android-based console. So I think Android-based gaming, we'll see where this goes. But there's a little bit of a console war going on in that Android space, which is really interesting because that's also a space that's going to have a lot more independent development.
Right.
Than these large AAA spaces. So there's a lot to come. And then, of course, we have the Oculus Rift coming out as well and seeing what consoles and devices support the Oculus Rift will also be a very interesting thing. So there's a lot of exciting things happening from a hardware perspective, and there's also a lot of exciting things happening from a gaming perspective, but I think we'll get to that a little later in the show.
Right.
But E3, man. This is a big E3.
It was a coup de grace. It was a killing blow. I haven't actually been able to find like anyone really defending Xbox. It's like all over my Facebook feed and on Reddit and stuff.
It's hard
I'm sure they're out there, but
well, it's hard to even find Xbox people being able to defend Xbox.
Yeah, it was just such a weird move.
It's like if somebody works at a store and they like just don't accept returns, and somebody comes back and they're like, "You sold me this thing and it just flat out does not work. I plugged it in, it doesn't even turn on." And you're like, "I'm sorry, man. It's just I can't do anything. That's our policy." And they start screaming at you. You're like, "I just can't do anything. I don't know." That's exactly what Microsoft is doing right now. They just dug themselves a grave and then place. Sony just came in and like filled it in.
Danced on it. Yeah.
But the interesting, I mean, Sony couldn't have, this whole marketing thing really fascinates me. First of all, that Microsoft did nothing in the last 2 weeks to remedy this bad press. They thought just pouring more bullshit on top of it would do something about it. But at the same time, Sony couldn't have done all this in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, they've been building this gamer's console for quite some time. So it's really interesting to me. It's interesting to me. And Sony did it. They won. They won the decade-long fervent Xbox player. They won me over. I'm done with Xbox. After my 360 red rings, that's it. I'll destroy it in some really cool way, and then I'll...
Ritualistic fashion.
Yeah, and then I'll put it on YouTube and get some karma for it. all right, Jesse, let's move on before we talk more. We got some more E3 stuff coming up, guys, but before we do that, we're going to do a little beer break, and this is from none other than our Philly correspondent, JR, and he's got some updates for us, so here we go.
What's up, guys? It's your friendly neighborhood East Coast craft beer correspondent, JR from Philly. I'm 100% less stumbly now, so I thought that I'd give you a proper recap of Philly Beer Week. I thought I'd hit the events and then give you some beer recos. First, the events. I did the Meet Jim Cook event from the guy from Sam Adams, and that was so cool. Jim actually hung out with my fiance and I in our booth for about 15 minutes chatting. I was asking him about Mosaic hops, and he said they're actually one of the hops they use in their Latitude 48 IPA now. And he talked about how they're trying to breed the cattiness out of American hops, and Mosaic does a good job of that. And so 65% of Sam's production comes out of the Lehigh Valley, which is just about an hour north of Philly, which is pretty cool. And then he also helped himself to finishing my French fries, which I thought was pretty awesome. He was just a super nice, down-to-earth guy. And the other thing I went to was Dunkle Dare, and that was a great nostalgia fest. So, Dunkle Dare, they had breweries competing against each other for a year-long tap placement at Frankfurt Hall, which is worth about 1,500 kegs. Or several $100,000 worth of beer.
Jesus.
So they had Great Lakes Brewing Company from Ohio and Stouts from Lancaster, PA. And the format of the show was spot on to the original. Mark Summers still has got it. He even brought along his old sidekick, Harvey. The music, of course, makes you feel like a kid again. The final obstacle course had all the flags covered in gack, the Swiss cheese and the giant pancakes and the giant nose. It was a really good show. And after the competition was over, Great Lakes won. They gave the crowd a chance to participate in some of the physical challenges. And they had all the old prizes, like the Encyclopedia Britannica. Of course, they only had the books with A through C, the first book, and I think it was from like 1984.
Well, beer's in there.
They also had VCR. And the big prize, which was actually super cool, a trip to Space Camp.
What?
And they actually arranged a trip to Space Camp through the Franklin Institute, which was really sweet.
I want Space Camp.
And what a well put on event. So, beer recos, right? I had mentioned Allagash and Amagang last week. And Allagash is known for their white, but I had a flight of all their flagships, and I was really impressed with how subtle their triple, which is Kiro, and their quad, which is four. They were nice, smooth, not the overwhelming alcohol pop, but at the same time, bursting with flavor, really excellent brews. Also impressed with their Belgian strong dark ale, which they call black. Definitely check them out. Jesse, you're right. They are doing amazing things there. And Amagang, they're from Cooperstown. They're actually owned by Duvel, and I've always enjoyed their ales. Their Abbey Ale and Rare Voss are great. Their wit is on par with like a Hoegaarden. And one of their new offerings, the Fleur de Roblin, which was a great, crisp, nicely hopped pale ale. And some of the highlights from the Sam's tasting was the Honey Queen, which is a Braggot style. and it's like chock full of honey, but somehow it's like not too sweet and not too meaty. And Jesse, last week you mentioned ciders. So Boston Beer Company does the Angry Orchard line, and I really loved their crisp apple cider too. Sam's Double Agent IPL, the India Pale Lager, just straight up has to be tasted to be believed. What a great celebration of hops that beer is. That is the style that I really love brewing with my uncle. And what stole the show for me from Sam's was the Imperial White, which was a 10.3 whipped beer that, again, just deceptive in masking the alcohol and so enjoyable in its flavor. So in addition to that, I had a ton of great beers at my bachelor party, but that's a story for a whole nother cast. I hope you guys had fun at Jesse's bachelor party this weekend. That's the report from Philly Beer Week, so get off my back.
You get off my back, JR.
Get off my back.
Get off my back. Thank you for that report. Any thoughts on the beer there, Jesse?
No, it all sounds great.
Yeah, that 10.3 wheat beer. The only thing that reminded me of when he said it masked the alcohol really well was just like those like marshmallow Smirnoff vodkas and stuff.
Oh.
Which sounds disgusting. But I'm not a big wheat beer guy. I'm not a big wheat beer guy. So
I think you might change your opinion in the future.
I know. You like the wheats.
I love wheat beer. I love yeasty beers.
Yeah.
The yeastier the better.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, that Double Dare thing sounds awesome. Like,
that's so cool.
That was always my dream to, like, you know, do that GAC run where you're grabbing the flags out of the nose and shit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Do you think Mark Summers just, like, has those props in his garage or something? It's kind of weird that he had them all on hand for Philly Beer Week.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would be surprised if it turned out he was actually, like, executive producer or something.
Yeah, probably. He, I really hope that they had knee pads, though.
I forgot about that.
The knee pads, dude.
Yeah, that was clutch. Did they wear helmets?
Yeah, totally.
See, I was more of a Legend of the Hidden Temple kid.
Yeah, I liked Double Dare.
That and Guts.
I mean, Legend of the Hidden Temple is awesome. It is awesome. But
that was by far my favorite of the kids. Do they still do this? Do they still have, like, these kids kind of game showy things?
No, that now they just talk about sex and drugs.
Oh, great.
They're basically the MTV of children's TV shows, as far as
thanks,
I'm concerned.
One Tree Hill.
Yeah, geez, man. Thanks, SpongeBob. Thank you, JR, by the way. That's awesome, dude. I this whole Allagash thing, I need to try some of this stuff. It's just blowing up.
Yeah, they're like I said, it's hard to find out here, but it's definitely worth it if you get the opportunity.
Yeah.
That's why at my bachelor party, I was so excited to have that white rabbit because I thought it was Allagash, but it was Avery. Still quite good.
Boulder, Colorado, right? Or is it Denver?
We went there.
We went to Avery, didn't we? Oh, God. That was our Bald Move meetup, so I don't remember it very well. Thank you to Jill for driving us home from that. And by Jill, I mean Liz. Whatever. Whatever it is. Okay, let's move on. Jesse, what's your Seco topic this week?
Well, I want to take a quick break from all the beer and gaming to take a peek in the WTF file.
Thanks.
So I think Amy of Amy's Baking Company may have been replaced as the most hated woman on the internet. So, a woman out of Florida went on a semi-racist tirade at a Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
And she recorded it all herself.
Okay.
And posted it online hoping, to embarrass the employees. And it all turned around on her, and it hit the front page of Reddit.
Yeah.
It's been reported on today.com, which is where I get all my news.
Yeah, totally.
Under money for some reason.
Uh-huh.
And basically it just hit the internet with a big splash. And the splash didn't go the direction she wanted it to. In fact, she is being demonized.
Right.
For her racist tirade, which I think is fair. Did you watch the video at all?
I didn't even see it, dude.
Oh, okay. So she filmed like this 8-minute video, and it's worth checking out because she goes into the Dunkin' Donuts, And she's upset that she didn't get a free meal when they forgot to give her her receipt.
Mm.
And this was like the day before.
Well, I mean, granted, whenever I don't get a free receipt, I usually expect free stuff the next day.
Well, apparently this is something they offer. Like Taco Bell does the same thing.
Yeah, like your bill is on us if you don't get a receipt or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess she like called the manager, and the manager said she'd get a free meal today.
Okay.
And so she goes in, and she has a bunch of attitude.
Right.
And basically, the cashier guy, he's like totally nice. He's like, yeah, I'll give you that. Okay, no charge.
Uh-huh.
Totally accommodating. And so he like leaves the counter to go make the food. And then you have about 4 or 5 minutes of her kind of venting to herself.
Okay.
And not just venting to herself, but also explaining the situation to the uncomfortable old white guy next to her.
Oh, man.
And filming him. And he just looks so like, I don't want to be here right now.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my my double gross sloshy breakfast sandwich.
Yeah. In the defense of this Dunkin' Donuts, it looked nicer than any Dunkin' Donuts I've ever seen.
I don't
before.
Know about Dunkin' Donuts, dude. That's totally an East Coast thing.
Yeah, I know. But I've been there a couple times when I was in Boston.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to. Yeah. I think the only Dunkin' Donuts I've actually been in was in the train station in Boston.
Oh, there's that one by the convention center.
Yeah.
You never made it there?
No, I just went to the one down in the subway.
So while she's getting this, she's trying to kind of explain her situation to this uncomfortable old white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, like, I gave them so many good reviews. I gave them 10 out of 10, like over 100 times. And then they crossed the line last night.
By not giving a receipt?
Yeah. And then she wanted the free food. And then she goes on to say, like, I'm not even going to eat the food. They pissed in my fries and I can smell it.
What?
She returns.
First of all, fries at Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, actually, I didn't think about that.
They do fries there?
I guess they do fries at Dunkin' Donuts.
Wow.
And she says, like, she can't even trust the food. She's like, I don't care if they spit and shit in it. I'm not going to eat it anyway. I'm giving it to my boyfriend. Which is, like, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that little treat.
Yep.
So basically, they're still accommodating her. She orders the food. She's getting it for free. They're giving it to her for free. And then she goes over and like leans over the counter and starts calling one of the women, who I guess was the one she interacted with before, right. Sand N-word.
What?
Yeah. And like started dropping the racial slurs and saying that she was going to nuke them from the planet Mars. And that she like tied in these 9/11 references, which is just a classy move. And then she pans to another uncomfortable white guy. They're my favorite stars of this whole spectacle because they're just like, I don't know. Point that at me.
Right.
And she's like, I'm putting this on Facebook and I'm gonna put it on YouTube and it's gonna get a million views. And so basically. The internet got their hands on it,
right?
As the internet is wont to do when you post your racist tirades there. And
right.
It turns out she's like some, like, not a spokesperson, but like she had done some sort of work, like video work for some like Thai restaurant.
Okay.
And like they exposed her, they put like her full name.
Oh, man.
On all these articles.
Yikes!
Which is, I mean, that's a little sketchy,
right?
And now some dudes like did an Indiegogo to try and raise money for the people working at the Dunkin' Donuts to get some college fund.
Yeah, why not, dude? Oh.
So I don't know. It's just like the vitriol of the internet has turned from the aforementioned Amy, who actually, if you're following her Facebook page, she put up a picture of her holding a picture of Battletoads. And it's saying, like, now serving Battletoads in rare, medium rare, and well done.
Oh, my God. What? Is she just trolling, dude?
No, I think it's just because people have been calling her. Be like, do you have baked Battletoads?
Well, did you hear her husband, like, was in deportation?
What? No, I didn't hear that.
No, her husband was talking to like an immigration lawyer because he was being deported because apparently he's got a bunch of he's like not allowed in like five different countries or something.
Wow, including America?
No, America he's allowed in. We're the land of opportunity. But he apparently, like, yeah, he's got all these like racketeering and straight up gangster related shit going on.
But why would they volunteer to go on Hell's Kitchen?
This is what I'm wondering. Like, are they just trolling?
Well, apparently not. If like he's going to get deported.
Well, this is all speculation, though. Nothing is ever fact, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It's weird. So screw this lady. So I can't say her name, but
right. But they're and this is the thing. Like this lady, obviously she's psycho. Mm-hmm. I still feel some kind of vitriolic passion toward Amy from Amy's baking company.
I think it's just because her case was so fascinating.
Right.
It wrapped in the attention of Gordon Ramsay.
Like, that's the thing about Gordon Ramsay, too, is that this is a guy who... Have you ever seen the uncensored Hell's Kitchen clips?
No.
The pure acid that spews out of his mouth in those things, you think those bleeps are... You have an idea in your mind of what those bleeps actually are. They're way off. They are much worse than you could ever imagine.
Yeah. I've watched the British version of Kitchen Nightmares, which is uncensored. It's true. I mean, he's got some real Amy-like quality to him.
He does, but at the same time, to turn... Like, that episode of... I love that we're just talking about Kitchen Nightmares. That episode of Kitchen Nightmares turned me into a Gordon Ramsay enthusiast.
Right.
Now, there's a restaurant up here on Greenwood that has Vinny's. His picture that was featured in an episode of Kitchen Nightmares. I kind of want to go there now because I went there before he was there and it was terrible and overpriced and took too long. I want to see what he did to the place.
We should go.
Yeah.
We should go dress as Gordon Ramsay. That'd be hilarious. And then just say, ooh, the gyro is dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. I bet they'd get a kick out of that.
Wear
a couple of chef's jackets.
Amy's Baking Company was the moment where I started liking, honestly, where I started liking Gordon Ramsay.
Right, yeah. Like, it's also like Amy is in a position of power. People work for her. Their livelihood depends on her. And there's a certain responsibility that comes with being an employer.
Absolutely.
And she basically... did everything that you're supposed to not do as an employer in regards to taking advantage of your employees.
Right. It's just...
I think that's why it rung so true. The people that come out of Amy's, they're going to be the best goddamn employees you ever had.
It's good to have your worst boss first.
Yeah, worst first.
Every boss after that will feel like, oh, God, you are a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Amy is just, I think exactly what you're saying. And also like you're trying to go out, you're trying to have a nice dinner and Amy destroys your night and also charges you $100 and then fires somebody.
Yells at you.
Yeah. They're all terrible. I'm just saying these are all terrible people. I just don't know why. I'm trying to uncover the fact as to why Amy instills such animosity inside my soul.
Well, I think it's probably because we've all had shitty bosses.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like ramped up to 11 with her.
Right.
Right.
All right, let's move on to my second topic. So this time we're going to get back to games.
Here we go.
This year's E3 was a huge E3, right?
They should have called it E4. It was that big.
It was huge. And not only because there were all these console announcements and all these people trying new stuff, which is really cool, but also because this is the first real year of E3 that I can remember in quite a while where two of the biggest titles talked about were brand new IPs.
Right.
So, first of all, I want to talk about Destiny, because that's kind of the one that's blowing up. Destiny is the next game from Bungie, which you know, obviously made Halo, and was the developer of that game. They broke away. 343 Industries took over Halo 4, and Bungie went and started working on a new game. And that game turned into Destiny, which is a lot like Halo in theme. It's a sci-fi futuristic shooter where you're fighting aliens. But there are also a lot of cool things about it. Like the game will keep playing while you're not playing it. You can go to different worlds. There's a lot of the same elements of Halo. And I'm excited about it because guess what? I can play it on my new PS4.
Yeah, that's the one title that I won't be able to play on my sweet new rig.
Yeah.
whatever PC people call it.
Is Destiny not on PC?
I don't think so. I think it's a console game only.
Well, so I think that's really cool. I think Destiny, I'm really excited to see what Bungie does next. They're freeing themselves up from the world of Halo. And like I said, they announced Halo 5. I'm just not excited about Halo 5, dude.
I feel like Halo 4 just came out.
Yeah, and like Halo 5 is the new thing, but Destiny is the new. It's the new of the new, and that's what I want to see. So Destiny is a game that I can play on my new PS4. A game that I can't play on my new PS4, which is arguably the second biggest title to be announced at E3, is Titanfall.
Right.
And I think
I don't know anything about this.
Okay, I watched a couple things on it today. The friend of the show, Abby Heppy, who is one of our first guests ever, is the community manager for Respawn Entertainment, who's doing Titanfall. But Titanfall, I feel like nobody is kicking themselves more than Respawn Entertainment. This is a group of people who had a terrible falling out after creating Modern Warfare, which is arguably one of the biggest first-person shooter titles of all time, basically pulled Call of Duty out of a World War II shooter into the number one shooter available on the market by pulling it into modern times. The two guys who did that, they were keeping on, they were developing, they were going along, and Activision decided to kick them off. They weren't excited about the direction they were going. They decided to kick them off the project. So the guys who developed Modern Warfare, they had a huge legal battle. They were trying to pull the Modern Warfare IP with them. It didn't happen. They started Respawn Entertainment. They were picked up by EA Partners, but they were able to develop the game on their own. And they were also able to just pull in a bunch of game developers who are really talented from a bunch of different areas and pull them in and bring this game together. So basically what Titanfall is Call of Duty set in the future with giant mechs. And these mechs are not the mechs that you're used to getting in. You're used to going to a video game, getting in a giant mech and plodding around, slowly shooting out rockets and getting pummeled by gunfire until you explode. These mechs are like body responsive mechs. They're fast, but they're like, you know, six stories tall. And they basically act like a human in a first person shooter. But they're gigantic and they shoot giant weapons and stuff. So you're basically playing between mechs and you're playing as pilots, and you can run around the game. And you can shoot up the mechs, or you can jump in a mech and you can shoot pilots with the mechs. But each group has their own advantages, and all of the gameplay looks really, really cool. I'm really excited about this game. The problem, it's an Xbox exclusive.
Oh, is it?
Yes. So Titanfall, this is a group that was on one of the biggest IPs of all time, Modern Warfare. They basically get unceremoniously kicked out of that IP. They start their own company, and then they tie themselves to a sinking ship in the Xbox One.
Interesting.
It's a rough, rough path for these guys. And
well, that was a bad decision to go Xbox exclusive.
I know. And it's a bummer because, like, I never played Call of Duty, but seeing all the screenshots from this could be a first-person shooter that could be super, super fun. And I'm Halo's the only FPS that I play, but this was one that I was most excited about, and at the same time, not going to really be able to play it. It is going to be available for the 360 if I want to pick it up for that, but that's probably not going to happen. So Titanfall, that's a huge title, and then Destiny is the other one. So ironically, I'll be able to play the Bungie game.
Right.
But I won't be able to play the Call of Duty clone.
Well, you better better get that Xbox One, bro.
I know, man.
See you on live.
There's some other games that are really cool that I'm excited about coming out of E3. One is Infamous. So this is another franchise that's PlayStation exclusive. Infamous, not Infamous 2, it's like the third one in the Infamous, but it's basically a reboot. And the cool thing about this is that they showed actual gameplay footage. This is one thing that Destiny hasn't done quite yet, is show actual gameplay footage. And I don't understand why developers are so afraid of actual gameplay footage. Like, I don't want to see CGI cutscenes. I want to see what the game is actually going to play like.
Well, that's not a good sign if they're reluctant to put that out.
Yeah, it's weird.
The guys at Penny Arcade, not for videos, but when you get like a still frame that's supposed to represent the game, but you can tell it's just a cut screen.
Yeah.
They call that a bull shot.
That's perfect. Just show me actual gameplay footage. I don't need to see a CGI trailer for a game. Infamous, they put out a full like 10-minute gameplay footage of the game. And the thing that makes me super excited about this is, first of all, the graphics are beautiful. You're basically playing as this like elemental dude who's made out of fire. So he can shoot fireballs. He could turn into embers and go through a exhaust port. He can jump up in the air and come down and make an explosion. But the coolest thing about this is set in a photorealistic Seattle in a dystopian future. So the whole gameplay footage that they showed was set in the Seattle Center. So this like mega corporation has commandeered the Space Needle and they built all these extensions on it and there are flags hanging off it. It looks beautiful. But you're on the ground around the Space Needle and you look around and it's got the Pacific Science Center right there. And they did some kind of contract because they have the actual logo of the Pacific Science Center and a one-to-one complete copy of the Pacific Science Center in the game. So like that whole area where you walk through and there's like the, you know, the courtyard where there's the pools and stuff and the dinosaur statues, they're all there. They're just dried out and they have the towers and everything. It's literally, and the graphics are beautiful. It's literally a one-to-one recreation of Seattle Center. They put that same detail into the city of Seattle. How can I not play this game?
Right.
I'm going to go up Fremont and see if I can find my apartment.
Yeah, you know, it's never going to be that involved, though.
I wish, dude. Well, they did that for Assassin's Creed. They did like a one-to-one recreation of Florence, Italy for Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, basically just Google Earth it, baby. I'm excited about that. So that's a PS4 exclusive, so jump on that. There's a couple other games. There's not the Bureau, but there's a game. It's based in 1886, and it's basically like and you're not gonna love this, but it's a steampunk with gear guns.
Right on.
Lovecraftian shooter game. So that looks kind of cool. And then the other thing I want to talk about was Nintendo.
Right.
Nintendo kind of did an interesting thing here. So first of all, they're going to have Call of Duty Ghosts on the Wii U. So it looks like they're trying to cater to more hardcore gamers in that respect. They also announced Bayonetta 2. Bayonetta was a pretty big title when it launched, and that looks to be a Wii U exclusive at this point. So that's a very adult oriented game on the Wii U, so that's it. And you know, they launched with like the Zombie U game, but they also went back to the classics. So there's going to be a new Zelda game, there's going to be a new Mario game, there's going to be a new Donkey Kong game, and there's going to be a oh, there's going to be a new Mario Kart game, and there's going to be a new Smash Brothers. So they're bringing the heat on their franchises, which is their strong suit.
Right.
Some new characters for Smash Brothers.
Mega Man, huh?
Mega Man, baby. You got Mega Man. You got the villager from Harvest Moon. Is that right?
Oh, is that what it's from? I was wondering what that's from. I don't know.
Is it from Harvest Moon? Am I getting that wrong? Yes, I am.
Is it like Animal Crossing or something?
Yeah, Animal Crossing. Dude, I've had too many Jolly Rogers. Harvest Moon, isn't that anime show?
No, Harvest Moon's a game.
Okay.
Sailor Moon.
Sailor, whatever it is. It's something. It's a villager from some guy. Which the internet is having a lot of fun with the villager character.
Yeah.
Because he's so cute and just vanilla that it's so funny to like just see him with the giant axe chopping down a tree, killing somebody.
Right.
And then also the trainer from Wii Fit is also going to be a playable character in Smash Bros.
That's bizarre.
But the thing I'm excited about in Mario Kart, I love Mario Kart. And like we were talking about earlier, kart racers are really fun for me. And the thing with Nintendo, and they did bring the heat this year. I mean, that's five franchises that are Nintendo staples are going to get new games on the Wii U this year or next year. Those are big games. That's a big announcement. The problem with Nintendo, it's like, dude, where did we go wrong with Nintendo? When did we decide that 1996 was the last time we were going to develop IPs for Nintendo? I mean, the only thing they were short of announcing was a new Star Fox game.
Right.
I just want to see some new shit out of Nintendo.
Mm.
It's kind of weird. You know, Disney is a property that has been able to reinvent itself over the years. Now we're in the Pixar generation of Disney. But you still got Mickey Mouse. I mean, you can make new shit. Just you don't have to rely on the same old stuff. I think that's where Nintendo's downfall lies.
Yeah, that's true. They have like the usual cast of characters, and it's kind of just a new iteration of that.
Yeah. When's the next Zelda?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Maybe it's out there and we just don't know it.
I hope so. I hope because I love the Nintendo. I like the Wii U concept. I like being able to have a controller with a screen in it. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that makes a lot of sense for a lot of different games, which I've gone to at length before. But I want to see some new IPs and make them fun and make them cool. But you have the opportunity here, Nintendo, to reinvent yourself. You don't have to keep just churning out sequels to games that came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I mean, there's only so many styles of games.
Yeah.
You know, you got your first-person shooter, okay, Metroid. You got your platformer, okay, Mario.
Yeah.
You got your action RPG, okay, Zelda. I mean, you got another platformer, okay, Donkey Kong.
Right.
It's like they have
you got your
so
racing
many
game,
of
you
these
got,
IPs that yeah. there's like there's not enough styles of games.
I mean, they kind of pigeonhole themselves because you got your racer and that's Mario Kart, and you got your fighting game and that's Smash Bros.
And that those titles are so valuable, they're going to sell money. Or sell, they're going to sell money. That's how valuable they are.
They're literally going to
sell money.
I just really wish in Smash Brothers they were able to put James Bond in there from GoldenEye 64, and it was Pierce Brosnan.
That would be sick.
That would
especially
be
if it was like those
sick.
Gross, like wrap around the face, kind of graphics. It's not James Bond; it's GoldenEye,
right? So those are the big ones. The last big game, and this is another Xbox 360 exclusive, was the Rise, RYSE, which is a Roman Empire game where it's a third person hack and slash featuring a Roman soldier, and the graphics look pretty awesome, but the gameplay is kind of in question because this is a game that started off as like a cool fighting hack and slash fighting game, turned into a Kinect game where you like pretend having a shield and a sword and swing around. That didn't really work, so then they reverted it back to a third person hack and slash. And from all the footage, it's kind of confusing because basically just a little button appears above each of the enemy's heads and it says X, Y, B, or A on it. And you just hit that button and then a cool thing happens. Which
that sounds super lame.
Doesn't sound that exciting, but the graphics look cool, and I want to see more games in that Roman genre.
Because we know that the rise of the Roman Empire can be attributed to individual soldiers going out into battle willy-nilly and...
Hacking and slashing.
That's definitely the tactics they use to become the most powerful army on Earth.
Well, Jesse, it's not rise. It's R-Y-S-E.
Oh, it's like asking you why right in the title.
So, lots of cool games. I mean, this stuff is still developing. But E3 was big this year. Good year for E3.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're gonna move on to our Facebook roundup. But before we do, we want to talk about baldmove.com. Guys, big shit went down on Game of Thrones. You want to talk about it? You want to hear about it? Get on the Night's Watch. They are getting every morsel of awesome shit. They're going to break it down. They're going to spin it up, and they're going to put it in your fucking ears. Listen to it.
On the topic of Night's Watch.
Yep.
I got this new iPod Touch, right? And I'm on the little podcast app, like subscribing to podcasts, and I'm just looking through the like suggested ones, like popular ones. I'm clicking through. It's all the usual suspects. It's like Mark Maron. It's This American Life, and then it gets to TV, and there's Night's Watch. I'm like, holy shit, they're doing all right.
Well, dude, who else would you want to hear about the crazy shit that's going on Game of Thrones than from Aaron and Mad Brew?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no one else, okay? So you got that.
That indie accent.
It's lovable. The other thing is you got the Mad Men Happy Hour, which I've been listening to religiously because I love Mad Men. And the commentary that Jim and Aaron give that is awesome. Not to mention, the Breaking Good Kickstarter is up. Go to Kickstarter.com, look for Breaking Good. It's up there. They're giving you lots of extra shit, and it's kind of turned into a giant bald move, Jim and Aaron Kickstarter. So please send your support their way. Not only that, but we also have Up Yours Downstairs, which is covering Mr. Selfridge's right now, which is Jeremy Piven's show on Masterpiece. You got the Because Show. You love the ladies. Listen to them. And then we're on there as well. Baldmove.com is crazy. You need to be there. Just sit down, put on your headphones, and kill 12 hours listening to that shit, and you'll have a great time. The end.
The end.
Baldmove.com, better than the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to...
And how.
Let's move on to our Facebook roundup this week. Each week we post on Facebook, ask you... what you want to hear us talk about on this show this week, lots of E3 and gaming action. So hopefully we covered all that for you. Corey Kershaw starts off the show. Corey Kershaw says, Super Smash Brothers engine using Disney characters. Jesse, what's your Disney character choice for this Super Smash Brothers Disney game?
I don't know Disney. Rafiki?
Okay, that's a good choice.
Okay.
He's got the stick. He's got mystical powers. He can hover in the air. I like Rafiki. That's a good choice. I was going to go Lion King too, so now I got to rework my jive. But I'm going to go with one of the gargoyles from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I thought you were going to say from the TV show Gargoyles.
Oh, yeah, never mind. I'm going to go with Gargoyles from Gargoyles. That would be awesome. I hope that's on Disney Infinity. Actually, just a Super Smash Brothers with all of the gargoyles from Gargoyles would be cool.
Or Gargoyles versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus Samurai Pizza Cats.
Yep, there you go. Kenneth Brooks says, anything, listening to your new and archived podcast while driving my one-plus-hour commute has been great. Keep it up. Oh, and I say this knowing you're probably going to talk about the PS4 versus Microsoft battle. With an obvious winner. I think we covered that, Kenneth, but thank you for listening. Aaron Humphrey said, if you had access to a time machine, where/when would you go? Got one trip, Jesse. Where are you going?
I would just pick a time in the future and go there. Everything in the past sucked.
Everything in the past was... I would just go to, like, 1996. That wasn't that bad.
Really? That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
I think you'd go crazy. You'd be like, oh, there's no internet or cell phones.
Yeah, dial-up would drive me batty.
Everyone's talking about Friends, and I already know what happens.
Oh, man, that's true. That's rough. All right, I'll go to the 60s. But, like, middle 60s. Like, between the Kennedy assassinations.
You're gonna get drafted.
No.
It'll be full metal, Eric.
I'm assuming I'm going and I'm not going to have an identity, so I can't be drafted.
Back then, they just drove around neighborhoods with nets, like in, I want to say Land Before Time, but that's not it. The one where the monkeys kill everyone.
Planet of the Apes?
Planet of the Apes Before Time.
Same thing. Yeah, I'd go to the 60s. Let's Mad Men this shit up. I want to drink at work. Jacob Jones Martinez says, I want to nominate Bridgeport IPA for the PA Beer Hall of Fame. Also, I don't know much about bronies per se, but My Little Pony has been a gateway drug to my daughter in the comics. She loves watching it and reading the comics, so it wasn't much of a jump to other comics, and the writers know exactly what they're doing. In the handful of comics I've read with her, there's been references to Star Trek, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and lots of other cultural references. It's really great for talking to her about friendship, loyalty, and doing the right thing. So I'm generally anti-brony, but it's worth a shot.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Anything that involves getting little girls into the nerd culture,
right.
I'm pro.
Because of your daughter.
I have a daughter,
right.
Too.
Russell-Nisha.
Russell-Nisha will... We'll see. We'll see if she embraces nerd culture or not.
Dude, she's going to be the nerdiest. She's going to have Agricola completely down
thing.
By the time she's 9 years old.
And, I just picked up Flashpoint Fire Rescue.
You did?
Yes. So I'm thinking that's going to be a great intro game for her to get her into gaming culture in general.
Absolutely. And as for the nomination, Bridgeport IPA is definitely on my radar for the PA Beer Hall of Fame. It is my favorite IPA, but I don't know how you feel about it, Jesse.
I definitely think that's PA Hall of Fame worthy.
All right. Well, we'll noodle on that, but I do want to induct one this week.
Oh.
So this is official, I think. And that's going to be Twilight Summer Ale.
Yeah, that's in.
Twilight Summer Ale, hands down, best summer ale from one of the best breweries in the country, Deschutes, constantly spitting out great, great ales. And Twilight Summer Ale is the culmination of that in a seasonal that is oft overlooked. They have brought to us something that is really, really special. So Twilight Summer Ale, second inductee into the Personal Arrogance Beer Hall of Fame.
Right on.
Sam Gulahamadi says, since Man of Steel is being released, what are your expectations? And more importantly, if you could choose any comic or sci-fi series to be rebooted to the big screen, what would you choose? This can include a series as recent as the recent reboot of Spider-Man. I'm really excited for Man of Steel. I'm through the roof on this movie. I'm really excited to see it. And Jesse, I hope you get to see it in the theater.
Yeah, it's unlikely.
Unlikely, but I'm very excited. So what's your reboot, Jesse?
Aliens or Alien.
But that's
I want more Alien movies.
Oh, yeah. Comic or sci-fi series. Well, what about Prometheus, though?
I don't know. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was exactly that.
Yeah. Well, still, give me more.
So just reboot Aliens in general. Not just not do a prequel. Just reboot the whole thing.
Yeah,
I
could do it. Well, I mean, they were so good. That's a tough question. Maybe not. I mean, I don't want Aliens is sacred ground for me. I got to go with Predator.
All right. Yeah. And I think they kind of tried that with Predators. I wasn't sure where that fit in the canon, but
I actually haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to choose Green Lantern. I just want a good Green Lantern movie.
Mm, good answer.
Reboot that shit and make the Justice League good.
What if you rebooted Star Wars, but like a remake?
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Well, I mean, that's what J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek. He basically just rebooted the franchise, but by breaking
Shia
it
LaBeouf
off.
Shia LaBeouf is Han Solo. Who would be Luke?
Probably Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
I know you know who that is.
Moving on.
Mark Gittin says, PS4 launch. We talked about it, Mark. Thanks for listening. Joe Green says, do you guys think the online lynching of the X-Bone, which I think is a great... It's so funny that, like, Xbox One abbreviates to X-Bone.
Yeah, I'm glad that... Because it was kind of a boner move.
Yeah. Will have any real long-term consequences for the console? I think it will. It swayed one guy.
I think you're going to gut your core demographic of gamers out of it. And I actually think this will have a huge detrimental effect on online gaming on Xbox Live Gold. Now the people who are going to be playing it are going to be just the little kids. Mm-hmm. There's already a ton of little kids playing Halo.
Yep.
And there's the standout, you know, actual adults who are still trying to play it correctly. But now it's just going to be a nanny.
That's it, man. I think it's going to have a huge impact. Like you said, I'm the guy. I'm the Xbox guy, and I'm done with it. The end. Mike Hasina says, who would win in a drunken bar fight between you two? I think we've had this question before.
Yeah, Eric would win.
Well, I got a good 20 pounds on you, at least. So, and I got the height advantage. So, mm-hmm. We're not in the same weight class.
No, it would be an unfair fight.
It would be an unfair fight, but at the same time, you got the scrappiness, dude.
I know, but the scrap factor only goes so far.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Perigo, our great main correspondent, says, Eric has the height and reach advantage, but if it's Jesse's bar, then he has the bar advantage.
Oh, I hadn't considered this.
That's true. It depends on the environment.
Locale. And if it's a brew pub, I know where to find the good equipment.
Right.
I can retreat into the brewery section and come out with some better equipment, like some tri-clamp throwing stars, you know, some brewer's hose nunchuck.
Yeah, then I'm done. Weapons involved, I'm done, dude. Like, I'm not weapon proficient, but I feel like just the weight class advantage would take you down.
Yeah, if we were to square off, I don't think I would have much of a chance. You got the arm reach on me.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be able to punch me a good 2-3 inches before I could punch you.
But at the same time, dude, you're lifting kegs like a mofo.
That's true. Maybe only...
So grapple, I feel like you might have the advantage in grapple.
If I can grapple you and get in close and lift you, and then, like, as you're falling, you hit your head on something.
Right.
That's, like, my only chance. But I'm not even confident in my ground game. So I'm willing to concede this one to you.
Well, the great thing about this, Jesse, is if there was ever...
never happen.
Yeah, if there was ever a beer brawl, it would quickly turn into a beer hug.
It's true.
Josh Perigo also just wants to shout out for some Allagash love. I need to try Allagash, apparently. Apparently, it's the savior of all beers.
It's good stuff.
All right, that's it, guys. That's your Facebook roundup for this week. We want to let you know how you can get in touch with us. Please send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. Follow us on Twitter @personalpodcast. You can also find us on Facebook under Personal Arrogance. We're almost at 200 likes there, guys. So please, if you haven't liked us yet, get us to 200 by the next episode. By our 150th episode, 200 likes. That's worth it. We're also on the Bald Move page, baldmove.com, and Bald Move Facebook. We're everywhere, guys. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us. Jesse, what's your first reco? Let's call it a cast.
I mentioned it before. Flashpoint Fire Rescue. It's
God damn it, dude. I bought this game first, man. That should be my reco.
It's the first cooperative board game that I've ever purchased, actually. So I bought this. I got on Amazon Prime. It was like $26. It was in my house 2 days later. I played a game with Tasha today, and we had a lot of fun. We rescued 8 victims before the house collapsed.
Nice.
And actually, I think after this podcast, I might eat some chicken noodle soup and play again.
Flashpoint Fire Rescue is great. It's also my first reco. There's two versions of the game in the box. And I haven't even gotten past the first version, which is the simple version, because it's so much fun.
It's fun. It's fast-paced.
Yeah.
You have, like, those great comedic moments in games where, like, the toilet keeps catching on fire. And you're like, what's going on in that toilet, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. It's cooperative. And what I like about it is the pacing. You can plow through a game in like half an hour, and there's this like nonstop action-packed, tons of explosions. Right. The house is being destroyed around you as you're trying to rescue victims, and for some reason, Jordy's going after the pets.
Exactly.
It's good times.
Yeah, Flashpoint Fire Rescue. Plus, like you said, it's $26 to $28. Less than $30 for a board game, and you're going to get a lot of play out of this.
Right.
This is
a
game.
I've played it like five games, and I played it for the first time on Saturday.
Yeah, I think we played seven games over the whole weekend. Like, it's a great, and it's fun every single time. And the first time we played, we won, but we lost more than we won. It can be a challenging game.
Right.
And there's also a hard mode if you want to get there, too, on top of it. So Flashpoint Fire Rescue, this is a game that you have no reason not to own. I'm talking to you, Crunchy, down in Australia. If you want to play a game with your kids.
Oh, this is perfect for
Crunchy, dude. So Crunchy, please buy Flashpoint Fire Rescue for your children. Do it for the kids. Double Recco.
The children.
All right, Jesse, what's your Seco Recco this week?
My recommendation is the film Star Trek Into Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You were so kind as to treat me to it on my bachelor party. I really enjoyed it. It's just a rip-roaring action-adventure Star Trek movie that I loved every second of it.
Yeah. It's great, dude. I really enjoyed it. Don't listen to Roger Dotze. He's wrong. I'm just joking. I love you, Roger. I was very excited to take it. And we saw it in full IMAX, which was it was kind of weird.
It was a little weird because it's an old IMAX.
Yeah, the IMAX 3D is weird because it's so big that the glasses, I feel, are not correctly adjusted to the size of it.
Yeah.
So you get a little bit of a double image.
I got a little, nauseous.
Yeah.
A couple of scenes I took the glasses off. I'm really excited to watch it again, as a rental. Yeah. On my screen in 2D.
Yeah. It's a good movie, dude. I loved it. My Seco Reco this week is going to be a new podcast. It's brand new, so get it on the ground floor. It's Board Game University. It's done by Tom Vassell from The Dice Tower, which is the definitive board game podcast. But the cool thing about this one is he interviews board game designers and publishers. So
very cool.
If you're like me and you're designing a board game, you're getting into it, this is the one to listen to because he talks to people who have designed and published board games in the past and tells them what to prepare for and how to get your game seen by publishers and all of this great knowledge for those budding board game publishers. It's a great, great podcast. The first two game designers that he interviews are the guy who published one of your favorite games, Agricola, the guy who started Z-Man Games.
Oh, what is his name? Yua Rosenberg?
No, the guy who started. So that's the guy who designed it, but the guy who actually owns the publishing company for that. It starts with a Z. That's why it's called Z-Man Games.
I can't
remember his name off the top of my head. And then the second one is the guy who owns Stronghold Games and who designed Blood Bowl Team Manager.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So he's bringing the heat.
I'm definitely going to have to listen to this.
Yeah. So Board Game University, you can get it on iTunes, and I'm really excited about this new podcast. Plus, each episode is 20 to 30 minutes long. So,
Oh, nice. Digestible.
Gobble those up. All right, Jesse, that's it for this week. You got anything else, man?
No, I'm good. I'm satisfied.
All right. Well, until next time, guys, thanks for all your feedback. Please rate and review us on iTunes. I forgot to tell you that. And keep being a part of the show. Listener, we love you so much, whether your name's Roger, Josh, or JR, or anything else. We love you for listening. And until next time, guys, wherever you go.
And whatever you do.
Please stay
arrogant.